Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you know, that one sounded weird.
Yeah, the voice a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm still getting over the cold. It's still lingering. I thought it was gone when I was in Florida.
What, you come back from Florida and like insta-cold?
Yeah, that actually would track. Actually.
Yeah, pretty much. I lost it for a little bit. I mean, it's the air down there. I lose the cough a little bit. I get back that night and like immediately it was back. And I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, all right. I expect that. I knew it was coming. It is what it is. It's that season. It's that time of the year.
That's Zach Jones. I'm Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I had residual thoughts from yesterday. The presser, also the dismissal of Adams entirely. I've been holding on to that because that's kind of how we do it around here. And it's time to let some of this out. Zach, when it comes to everything from the presser yesterday, though, I was overall very impressed. Kekalainen was on with Jeremy and Joe just about an hour ago, and I think I liked a lot of what he said there as well. Again, the highlight being non-committal to the coaching staff, and it does seem like that is something where, yeah, nobody's safe right now, and that should be the case when a new general manager arrives.
I mean, yeah, you're doing this for a reason. Adams is the main character of it all, but Lindy has not been perfect in his second tenure as head coach for the Sabres. They are second to last in the East. I think that's why most of us were somewhat expecting an announcement even yesterday, although being the one chair, not too surprising. But I think that's why I was expecting another announcement. We'll see if anything comes to kind of what we also heard Kekalainen say yesterday, which is everything is under evaluation. We did see one move yesterday. Isak Rosén goes back down to Rochester. Don't know what that means. I thought somebody was going to be coming off of IR, whether that be Jason Zucker, Yuri Kulik, you know, with his situation with the blood clots, no idea. But haven't seen anything substantial from that end yet. Yeah, I think for me now, having slept on it, you know, about 24 hours since, he does sound like someone that has the experience. That's the bare minimum I've kind of hit with wanting, you know, guys in these head positions, whether it be head coach or general manager, just have any semblance of experience before they're hired by the Sabres. But, you know, to put it, you know, just in the simplest terms, he sounded like an adult. He sounded like he had been there, done that, knows what to say. I will tell you, I don't love not embracing the drought. I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about that. I would rather kind of have a general manager or head coach or even players acknowledge that, no, it's not our fault, but it is our responsibility to end that.
And I think Paul Hamilton did a good job of bringing the insight on that, of like why the fans turn on this team very quickly.
Right. And I think there is almost, and this maybe isn't true, but it's kind of how I'm perceiving it. It is almost a defense mechanism of like to not take it all and just be like, well, no, we're going year by year. Nope. A lot of you have been here for multiple years of this drought. Even if they got in that shortened season, 2020, we'd be on a 5-6 year playoff drought, which still in the NHL is a very long time.
Which would be most of Adam's tenure.
And so, like, that's my thing is, like, no, good sure. God. All 14 years is not everybody. It realistically, physically couldn't be.
Oh my God,
but even if they got into the shortened season, they would still be on another playoff drought.
That would be Adams' entire tenure.
And it'd be his entire tenure.
Oh, my God.
And so, no, I don't blame everybody for it. But I also don't love the deflecting of, you know, it's not all these guys. We just got to focus on this year. And then also to that extent as well, this is fine. Every GM's going to say this is not a Kekalainen thing. But, like, kind of dismissing the whole just get into the playoffs because you want to say you want to go win a cup. I get that. They're not a cup-winning team. They're not even really close. They are in a position of you just got to get in. You got to get some of that toxicity out of the organization, I think, before you can move forward.
I do think there's something to not wanting to face that outside pressure and do what you need to do and set out to do. I think there's merit to that on the other side of this argument. And I'm not putting this up just for the sake of it. I did like that he said, no, we have a plan. We're going to attack it. I'm not going to sacrifice everything just to make the playoffs 1 year. And I think there's a lot of merit to that. Because I liken it to the Columbus Blue Jackets thought that they were a team that could make some noise in the postseason. And they went all in, not trading their UFAs, trading for a couple of rentals. And then what they were doing, though, was they started getting hot. They were a team that thought that they were better than where they were in the standings, made the aggressive moves. They bring in Duchesne. They bring in Ryan Dzingel. They keep Bobrovsky and Panarin knowing that those two are going to walk away from them for nothing. That was, we're better than what we are. We're going to do something about it. And if it fails, it fails, and like we're probably out of the job. But that's Kekalainen. That's the kind of guy he is. He saw the plan and he attacked it. So that wasn't, we're going to make the playoffs just to make the playoffs. No, that was, we should be able to make some noise. And they do.
Yeah.
They sweep the President's Trophy Lightning. Are you kidding? And then they even get a couple against Boston and ultimately fall. Boston, who that year, by the way, makes the Stanley Cup final. That's a guy who knows that contextually it's different. If he thinks this team can make some noise in the Eastern Conference, he's going to do something about it accordingly because he has a track record. That's something that we haven't been able to say about a general manager in a long time. Matter of fact.
Well, since the 70s.
I was going to say, combine our ages, Zach.
Yeah.
We can get pretty close to the number. We'd shoot it over because, you know, I'm older than you. But
I think it's 79 with Scotty Bowman.
Yeah, but my point remains that I do like that he's putting it into the isolation of, I have a plan, I'm looking at everything right now and how to execute the plan, nobody's safe, but I'm not going to worry about the exterior pressure of it to make sure that this plan gets going. And if it means one more year, first of all, they're still in second to last place in the Eastern Conference. What's the harm really being done here? They fired the general manager. That typically means you've had a bad year. or that you're likely to not make the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that pressure's probably off right now, at least for this year. What's another year to it? I thought that this was going to be the case when Adams was retained. As for the coach, it's fascinating to me that Lindy Ruff, there's been discussion about it. Kekalainen hasn't been committal to Ruff. Ruff's contract expires at the end of the year. And everyone saw that signing as, he's long in the tooth. Is he really going to do more than 2 years here anyway? And the Sabres kind of put together a plan, almost like Seth Appert's this coach in waiting sort of thing, by bringing him up from Rochester, making him the primary assistant to Lindy Ruff. It seems like the Sabres are acutely aware that Lindy Ruff was not going to be long for this. And that's why Kekalainen might not be committal to him, because of the fact that, well, Lindy probably doesn't have much time to do this. And if that's the case, I might want to get started now.
Yeah.
But a move has not been made yet.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like there's already something, like reading the tea leaves, you can kind of see some of these things, even on the complete outside. Sometimes you're wrong, but the speculation can always be there.
803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on, give your thoughts on what we heard from yesterday and today from new Sabres general manager Jarmo Kekalainen. We'll also get to the Bills as well, coming up in about 15 minutes. Sal Capaccio will join the show. The Bills are back at practice today. They do sign a kicker yesterday, officially. Michael Badgley, of course, with Matt Prater going down with a quad injury. They literally had to do that. Real quick, though, last thing for me on the Sabres situation and all that. I'm excited. I'm happy they made the move. I will say, though, there is other things that have to be done. It's not the most worrying situation that they could be in. Like, for me, the thing I was most scared about was that Adams wouldn't actually leave the organization. He would just be moved into a different role, and that ultimately everything would stay the same. Like, realistically, you could look at from the outside and go, yeah, nothing's changed. And while that's not totally true here, we have mentioned it. They still have assistants on this roster that are from the Ralph Kruger days, or at least the Don Granato days. Lindy has realistically not even been able to hire much of his own staff. Lindy even is, I think, part of the problem, where you're seeing a lot of the warts in his coaching style. And so, yeah, like there are still things that need to change. It's the early days. It's his first week. We hadn't even actually played a game with Jarmo Kekalainen as the general manager of the Sabres.
Right, they don't play till tomorrow.
You know, they don't play again until tomorrow. And they are on a three-game win streak. Like, they're not totally dead or out of it. And so I'm excited going forward, but it is a middle-of-the-season GM hiring. Like, there's only so much I can really expect. That's why I've also mentioned I'm frustrated that Adams is even given half a year. I equated a lot to NFL teams with head coaches, where you draft the quarterback in the first round, and yet you will fire what we all knew was dead man walking coach midway through the year, thus probably botching the development of your rookie quarterback and setting your franchise back 5 years. I think in part because you just kind of didn't want to make the hard decision, or you allowed probably a charlatan to convince you to keep them another 6 months, which is not even a really good, you know, sale case if they came and make it another year. And it's not to say Adams is a charlatan or anything like that. I'm putting that in grandiose terms of
around sports.
Yeah, why are you still here when I'm going to fire you in 6 months? Why even go through that process? Is it all just, I don't want to pay you that extra 6 months of money to not work here? Maybe. Fine. If that's your reasoning, that's your reasoning. I don't love it. You're an owner. You're probably a billionaire. But it is what it is. But now Kekalainen's got a lot to figure out, whether it be the Tuck situation, the three-goalie situation, or the fact that they are second to last in the East. I'm curious, and I'm, you know, in some ways excited to see how it goes. They play again tomorrow, 7:30, at home against Philadelphia. Hell, half of the thing I'm most excited about is just to see what that crowd is like tomorrow night. Because this crowd, at times this year, has been very good. It's also been a very hostile crowd. Paul has talked about that not that long ago.
You and I were
sell
there.
The team and fire Adams talks were loud and clear, but there's also been moments where that place is jumping for joy on a Tuesday night.
Right. You and I were there, though, that Black Friday game against the New Jersey Devils, where the Fire Adams chants are as loud as they had ever been, so much so that the broadcast picks it up pretty cleanly.
Oh, yeah.
And you, me, Joe, and Owen, we were all sitting in the press box that day, and we all noticed it, noticing how loud it was. The Fire Adams chants. Lo and behold, a couple games later, they start their road trip, and it starts abysmally. If the plan was really in place based on the results of the road trip, well, guess what? The first three games, it looked like it was not going to stop. And it was going to look like another one of those, oh, Kevin Adams at the tenure for another lengthy losing streak. The team does figure it out quite dramatically with Edmonton having a 3-0 lead and then almost collapsing that within an entire period. And then they score in overtime just to make sure they don't lose the game. But now, yeah, it's good though that it's good in a way that resolve stayed true. You thought you were going to do this. Three games of winning in a row did not change your mind. It's done and it's over with. I am happy that the resolve stayed. I also don't think you would have been able to sell to fans, oh, we won our third game in a row. Everything's clearly on the up and up with Adams. I don't think anyone's buying it at that point. That's where it really gets to me is you've had the better part closer to 6 years. Sometimes it's just not going to happen, and that's how it is. Honestly, I think 5 years is an acceptable amount of term for an NHL general manager. You start to see their products begin to work or not work. We've seen some of Jason Botterill's picks make late contributions after his dismissal, right? Matias Samuelsson has become a little bit of this like extreme case of high variance, mm-hmm. where he's either fantastic or, example like last year, people can't wait to get him off the team. But that is a Botterill draft pick. Tage Thompson emerging into his own, that is a Botterill acquisition from the Ryan O'Reilly trade. Or, you know, like, that's the sort of thing. Ryan Johnson, if he ends up being an NHLer, that's a Botterill pick. You see general managers have late contributions after their dismissal, and that's why Tim Murray always upset me. There wasn't many of those. The man got dismissed, and none of his draft picks except for, I'm thinking, what, Victor Olsson?
Yeah.
And then Will Borgen, who gets taken with an expansion pick.
Yeah.
Those are Murray's draft picks that make the roster after he's fired. Cool. Botterill, a couple of them show up. And a couple of them to frustrating degrees. Like Luukkonen. It's a Botterill draft pick, and I think people are done. Cousins is jettisoned out. Mittelstadt was already traded. But those are players that started playing more and more under Kevin Adams. I will be curious to which Adams draft picks that are not in the NHL right now do show up post-dismissal. And that's one of the things that he's been lauded for, actually, is the draft acumen of the scouting department.
Building up the prospect pool, and is it, you know, actually the number one overall one? I mean, he got rid of one of the guys, and it has worked out well. Savoy for McLeod, Austin looks very good. Isak Rosén seems to be a bit of a tweener, but, you know, we'll see as well. Devin Levi, I mean, if he comes up and is, in fact, their goalie of the future, like you mentioned, I mean, that's an Adams acquisition. We'll see. It's just, I mean, Kekalainen even mentioned this, you know, in years past, it was like 5 to 8 years before you really got to see some of these draft picks
and
come in.
That's
it's
why
sort
Tim
of the
Murray,
same with these GMs of their acquisitions. It takes a little while.
That's why Tim Murray's tenure always upset me. Because we didn't get much of the ripple effect afterward. Because he was such a poor drafter.
Yeah, he really was. We'll see more on the Sabres tomorrow night when they host Philadelphia. Bills, though, also in action this weekend. They're taking on the lowly Cleveland Browns. A bit of a lost season for them this Sunday at 1 in Cleveland. Always a stadium I kind of wanted to visit, mainly because it was close, but also I feel that kindred, you know, brothership with the Lake
Erie. The vibe
Erie.
Probably feels similar.
Yeah, but it's like the Lake Erie teams. Like, you know, you always kind of want to see those teams. And then, you know, this week, Derek, we got a few storylines. I mean, I call them the lowly Cleveland Browns. They are. They're a dreadful football team. Kind of only due to their offense. The defense is incredible. Myles Garrett is a sack away from tying Michael Strahan's all-time single-season sack record at 22.5. He's at 21.5. He has had a sack, or registered at least a sack, in every game since October 8th. So he's on an incredible pace. I mean, he's still got three games left. Like, he's almost definitely going to get the record unless something drastic happens. And then, of course, and no matter how you feel about it, it is still a storyline to keep an eye on. Shedeur Sanders is starting. And, Derek, it's weird with Sanders. I haven't actually been able to sit down and watch a lot of him playing in Cleveland, really outside of the preseason. Many times it's because the Bills are playing at the same time and we're focusing on that. But a lot of times games start on TV. Like, there's just no way. But I'll see, like, a throw or two of his every game where I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, that's why he should have been drafted. Quarterback's a weird position. Once you get out of the second round, there kind of becomes not a point to really draft one until, like, the sixth or seventh. And I mean that honestly. Like, if those guys are not going to start, you're sort of wasting an asset on a player and a position that could start, even in the fourth or fifth round their rookie year. And then you add in everything, you know, off the field with him and his dad, the distractions of your backup quarterback. I've gone through that, you know, endlessly. But then I look at his stat lines and I'm like, oh, like, there's no way that was good. The throws look great. The stat line is terrible.
But so then of the interceptions, for example, bounces off of Jerry Jeudy.
Right. But, like, I'm kind of into watching them. Like, the Bills are a 10-point favorite. The only other line that is bigger this week is Houston hosting the Raiders. They're at 14.5. The Raiders had 75 yards last week against Philadelphia. I have no idea what they can even muster against that Houston defense. But, like, I want to watch Shador. Like, I'm really into it. I think the Bills will win this one somewhat comfortably. That defense is still a bit of a struggle, and the Bills have had moments this year where they have dipped down to their competition's level. But, like, that's one of the things I really want to watch is, like, okay, like, how good, quote-unquote, is Shador? How bad is he? Do they really need to look for a quarterback? Harold Fanning as well. They've got a rookie tight end out of Bowling Green that's really good. Judkins, the running back of Ohio State. Carson Schwechinger on defense. Like, I don't know. Cleveland's such a weird team for me. I like a bunch of their young players.
It's an impressive rookie class. Yeah. And they spent two picks on a quarterback class that's not good.
Right. And so, like, I'm at this, like, weird impasse with them where I'm like, I love what you're building. But, like we mentioned, you know, the coach that gets half a year and is fired when they get a rookie quarterback. What are they going to do with Kevin Stefanski? Are they going to go into this draft class, draft a quarterback, and then fire him afterwards?
Not just Stefanski. Andrew Berry, the architect of the Deshaun Watson trade and contract extension that is holding this team back. So that's going to be something that we can look at a little bit more in extension. Well, Sal Capaccio coming on next here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But also, don't forget, let TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence intercept your heating bills. Enter now at WGR550.com for a chance to win $1,200 toward your home heating costs. Don't fumble this opportunity. You might fumble it because the contest ends January 4th of 2026. That's less than a month away, everyone. TRS, Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence. Powering tomorrow, comforting today. Sal Capaccio on the other side here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Paccio. Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, 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 hey. Let's go Buffalo Chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You heard the music. You know the man's coming up here on the Western Hotline. But first, before we get to that, some breaking news. I think within like the last minute or so, Jeremy and Joe, right at the end of their show, they admitted they got on a report that Tua Tagovailoa was being benched in favor of quarterback Quinn Ewers. They were just a little bit early, or at least the got tweet was a little early.
It was concussion protocol.
The man just
got benched.
It is straight up. Ian Rapoport, Adam Schefter, this is the tweet. Dolphins are benching starting quarterback Tua Tagovailoa and starting rookie quarterback Quinn Ewers against the Bengals. Well. We'll see how that goes.
Zach is giddy.
I'm giddy in weird reasons. With that, we'll bring on Sal Capaccio here on the Western Hotline. Sal, we'll get to Bills Browns here in a minute, but just right off the bat, that news, Tua being benched by the Dolphins in favor of Ewers.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I think back over the last couple of years, how everything's gone down with Tua. You know, you feel bad for him, the situation he's been in with his concussions, and then, you know, it just seems like he's regressed. Sorry about that. He's regressed as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they haven't had the strongest offensive lines. And they're in a position where they already fired their general manager. And I think their coach is very much in question if he's coming back. They're out of the playoffs. But what really sets it apart here is that contract.
Yeah.
I don't know what they do beyond him. Like, you could move on from him and eat the money and just say, we're just going to know that we're not going to have that money to spend next year. Like Denver did with Russell Wilson. You could do something like that, right? No doubt about it. But I think that's what's really kind of, you know, the story going forward here about it, not just the benching, obviously.
I wonder, too, how much, I mean, this is going to be obviously a move that is made, you know, or thought about at least for a couple of weeks. It's not one, you know, throw or what have you. But I will say the pick against Pittsburgh kind of was the culmination or you know, the encapsulation of Tua's entire career. Arm not strong enough, in the cold, can't get it done.
Yeah.
And it just, it you know, for lack of a better term, it looked like a weak throw. It just did not look like he had any power on it, and that's a big reason why it's picked off.
Yeah, small quarterback who came in with not a ton of mobility, had a couple injuries. Eventually that catches up to you, I think, in the league. I really 100%. Do. I think that, you know, you can win. Baker's not the biggest guy in the world, right? I mean, you can win, there's no doubt, but I think eventually that kind of skill set, that kind of build, those things add up after a while, and when you don't fortify your offensive line, it just keeps getting tougher and tougher. And the Dolphins have always taken an approach, it seemed to me, to build the team from the outside in, meaning wide receivers and running backs, before they really address their offensive line. I just don't think that that's conducive when you have a smaller quarterback in the NFL, especially. It's probably not the way to do it anyway, but, you know, teams, I mean, even Joe Burrow, look at, he's getting beat up because of this over his career. Now, they've been better this year, their offensive line, but you've seen what's happened to him. So he is due $54 million fully guaranteed next year, by the way.
Yeah,
$54 million.
What did the Broncos have to, or yeah, the Broncos had to eat? I think they had to eat about $50 million. So it's around the same, but man, oof.
You know, yeah, and I think what this does is at least gives the organization an opportunity to evaluate Quinn Ewers. Mm. The other thing we never know about these things, guys, who really made the decision? Yeah, I mean, it could be Mike McDaniel announcing the decision. Was it him or was it Stephen Ross?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Now I wonder, too, what are they going to do with Mike McDaniel? Like, is this sort of a three-game tryout of like, all right, let's see what you look like with, you know, a quarterback. Yep. I watched a lot of Quinn Ewers. He is not an athlete by any means. That bad offensive line will hurt him, but he's got a much more lively arm than Tua. So, in a weird way, I'm very curious to see what the Dolphins look like, in part for, you know, the Texas fan of me. I want to see Ewers in the NFL and see how he succeeds, even if I had a love-hate relationship with him. But it'll be curious. But it's out now to Bills Browns. Another curious quarterback situation, and one that I'm excited to watch, Shedeur Sanders. They're not a good team, but I think Sanders is super fascinating.
Yeah, he is. He's he came into this league, obviously, with a very polarizing in a lot of different ways. And I always thought a lot of it was unfair, but sometimes I think he put a bunch of it on himself. What I mean by unfair is because of who his dad is and how he was always viewed through that prism. But he's also kind of not done himself any favors, right, for some of the ways that he's approached different things. And, in the locker room and being like the mime. And I don't think he meant any disrespect, but it came off that way. But maybe not the best way to do it. But there's a lot of different ways there. You look at what he's done so far, this season. He had a nice game against the Tennessee Titans when he threw for 364 yards. In that game, though, he still completed less than 55% of his passes. Guys, his completion percentage, he did complete 64 against San Fran. You go back to the games that he's played, though, the games that he's started, 55, 64, 54.8, 51.4 last week. He's threw three interceptions last week. On the season, he has, three, four, five, six interceptions, five touchdowns. Still a man learning on the job, kind of. This is a opportunity for the Bills to really get after a young quarterback, confuse him. I would anticipate the Browns would really want to run the ball against the Bills. They have a good young running back. I was thinking today, what happened to that amazing Cleveland Browns offensive line from a couple of years ago?
Yes.
You know what I mean? They were just so amazing. And they're just they're not the same unit they used to be. I don't know if it's some injuries. I understand that. But what a far cry from where we were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sal, when it comes to the Bills on the defensive side of the ball, Christian Benford missed last week. I know that Sean McDermott did obviously say something about it on Monday of, the introductory stuff. But we will get our first look at the injury report from practice this afternoon.
Yeah, so remember I told you guys last week, I think what we're doing now is every Wednesday will be a walkthrough.
Yep.
They've done that the last few years, so today will be a walkthrough. So it'll be an estimation on the injury report. What would the player be if it had been a full practice? And then usually, not always, Thursday is kind of no change, other than the fact that we've had guys injured from Wednesday to Thursday. Right? I mean, then it does happen. But so if Sean McDermott tells us in about a little over an hour from now, if he tells us that Christian Benford's going to be limited today, I think it's a really good sign. That means that they're probably expecting him to be limited tomorrow during a full practice. Now, limited doesn't mean he has to play. There is an argument to be made. Okay, you just guys brought up Shedeur Sanders, that passing game. Do you put Christian Benford on a cold field in Cleveland on Sunday? Do you play him in a game where you think you just went against Drake May and the Bengals and you did a really good job with the guys you have? Do you play him? Or, hey, if he's healthy, he plays, right? I think there's a good argument for that to be made. Now, that said, one thing you have to keep in mind, Dane Jackson is out of elevations. The Bills have only three boundary cornerbacks on their roster. If Christian Benford can't play or they elect not to play him in whatever capacity, I don't know what the option is other than elevating to Corey Couch at this point.
Right, because obviously Jamarcus Ingram not on the team, Darius Slay did not report, and there is there's a little bit of questions on what they do there. They also, I do believe, they waived MJ Devonshire from the practice squad as well.
They did, and you know what? That could be a nice sign for Christian Benford.
Yes, it could. That could
right?
be.
Right. So Christian Benford, it could be. I'm glad you brought that up. That's an indicator they won't need the extra guy on the depth chart this week across the board because they're feeling good about Christian Benford. We'll see it today though a little bit more.
Staying on the injuries, Sal, obviously Matt Prater not going to be in this week. Michael Badgley going to be the kicker for the Bills after they held a tryout with him, and I think it was Matthew Wright that I saw.
Yeah, Matthew Wright had been a part of the Bills earlier this year, maybe training camp. He came in a little bit earlier this year and kicked a little bit. wasn't signed. Excuse me. Now you have Michael Badgley who comes in, and Badgley's got a pretty strong leg. He's a free agent for a reason, right? He's been a bit inconsistent in his career. His field goal percentage is only 83% on the season. Now this year he's hitting at 90%. Let me just look how many field goals he's had though. Field goal attempts this year. Well, he's 10 of 11 this year. He was 10 of 11 with the Indianapolis Colts. So a little bit of a sample size there, not ton. So a guy that they feel that, you know, can come in and right away, you know, kind of just seamlessly, you know, get in. He's a 10-year veteran. He's been in the league, you know, seven years, I guess. So, you know, a guy that probably you feel a little better in a situation like this, a little colder, not knowing the people you're around, and you can kind of, it's the same thing they do with guys that they're familiar with. Now, maybe there's no kicker they're necessarily familiar with, but let's get a guy in here that has kind of seen it before. We can seamlessly bring him in. Interesting on that, too, when it comes to the roster, they only signed into the practice squad, guys. So is that also an indication that they believe that Matt Prater is going to be ready after a game or two, where they only have to elevate Badgley three times? There's only three games left. They can elevate Badgley three different times before putting him on the active roster, obviously. So there's some roster decisions and gymnastics that kind of have to be made, but maybe we'll get an indication what that is. They have until 4 p.m. on Saturday to either elevate him or sign him to the 53.
It does feel like a lot of this year, Sal, the Bills have had to do a lot of these roster gymnastics just due to injuries. So they've gotten practice up to this point. This is not a new issue for them. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think it is fair to bring up that, I mean, they could just do this with Badgley the rest of the way for the regular season and then see, you know, where they're sitting at. Because Prater, you know, before he picks up an injury, it wasn't every game, but it did feel like we were starting to see like a missed PAT every other game. I think the shine on Prater had washed off a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fair to bring up. I think he's been pretty consistent this year. It's funny, I just told you that Badgley is 90% on the season. You know what Prater is? 90%.
Yeah.
And he's kicked exactly twice as many field goals. Matt Prater is 18 of 20. Badgley is 10 of 11 this year. So it's really interesting. Well, I guess a little less than half, I should say. But, you know, it is interesting. You're right. Extra points on the season. He's missed three. They've all seemed to come. He's come a couple of them over the last several weeks. Didn't one come in Houston on Thursday night?
I think that's right.
Yes.
And that was a big deal because it kind of changed the flow of the game, the way the game went and the score. So, you know, those are important. I agree. I still think, you know, the Bills would love to have Matt Prater available. He's done a really nice job for them this year. He's been consistent. But I agree that, like, there's been a couple here and there. What we don't know, too, Zach, is has the quad injury been lingering? Is that something he's been fighting through, which might be a reason for some of these?
No, absolutely. It was a little bit eye-opening that, you know, McDermott, when speaking with you in the media earlier this week, mentioned that he'd only found out that day about the quad injury. But that also could just be he just found out that it's going to hold him out of a game, not that it had been lingering.
Sure, sure.
We have no idea. Real quick, Sal, I do want to talk about the defense for the Bills and mainly the second half adjustments. We can push that to tomorrow because also on the defense for the Cleveland Browns, a record could be broken on Sunday. Miles Garrett only needs a sack to tie Michael Strahan. If he gets a sack and a half, he will break that single season record. And he's registered at least a sack in every game since October 8th. The pace he has been on such a bad team has been incredible.
Really, is what he needs, a sack and a half, right?
Yep.
He needs a sack and a half. Do you guys remember when Strahan broke it? Like, were you old enough to remember that?
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about that as well. How irritated would you be, or would it even register for you, if Allen pulled a Brett Favre and just kind of fell down and let Garrett get the sack?
Yeah, I can't see that happening.
Can't either.
But yeah, you know, you think about it, I can't. You know why? There's three games left here.
Right.
Favre did it in the final game, and like there wasn't much time left, if I remember. So he kind of gave it to him, Strahan, right? That's not going to happen here. I can't make like, hey, dude, you can get it in the next 2 weeks. You're not getting against me. We need to win a game here, right? We're trying to win a game to win to get to the playoffs. So I can't imagine that happening. I think though that it is interesting that when that happened, Michael Strahan, Brett Favre, you know, and then that created the whole. I'm sure you guys have seen Mark Gastineau kind of went after Brett Favre at a convention because it was Gastineau's record that Strahan broke, and there was a big deal about it. And I grew up watching Mark Gastineau, and he had the original record for many years until Michael Strahan brought it. Well, anyway, to your question about Miles Garrett. So Deion Dawkins has said many times He is the toughest player for him to block in this league. And I mean, you can understand why, but he's very open about it. He has so much respect for him. Could it happen? Sure, it could happen. I could see it happening this weekend. I think the Bills will do whatever they can to not let it happen. But part of that is play your game, run the ball, be balanced. Don't put Josh in those situations where those things could happen this week, where Myles Garrett could tee off. But they're going to be very aware. It's no different than playing TJ Watt. It's no different than playing, you know, the guys that against Houston. And I know those guys got off a little bit, but you have to have a game plan for everybody here. You're right. I'm looking at his ledger. I mean, he had 1, 2, 3 games in the middle of the season where he did not have a sack, and then that was it.
Yeah.
2, 1.5, and then 0.5, 0, 0, 0, and then 1, 5, 1, 4, 3, 1, 1, 1.5. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. And you know, it is crazy, Sal, too. I mean, with how good their defense is, because it's not just him. I mean, Carson Schwechinger, I think, is the favorite to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Mason Graham has been very, very good in the interior of the defense. You would think some of these performances by Garrett, the 5-sack one against New England, would lead to wins, and instead many of these games have been blowouts. It's just, it's incredible, and sort of, you know, it encapsulates Garrett's career. He is going to be undoubtedly a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the greatest Cleveland Browns of all time, and yet there was only a sliver of time there where the Browns were good and in the playoffs while he was also at the peak of his powers.
Yeah, and you're right, by the way, about you know, their defense. I mean, the Cleveland Browns rank 3rd in total yards given up. They rank 14th in rushing yards, but only 6th in rushing yards per play. And they're number 1 in the league in passing yards per game allowed. Number 2 is the Bills. number 2 is the Bills. It's kind of interesting to watch that. But I think it's because their offense is so bad, and it has been all year. They're literally 30 or 32nd in almost every major category. It doesn't matter what their defense is doing. It's like their defense almost has to score. They have to win low-scoring games like they did against Green Bay. Remember that?
I was gonna bring up Green Bay. I'm like, the defense kind of won that game. Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They did score 29 against Tennessee. Shadur had a nice day. They scored 24 against the Las Vegas Raiders. 31, it looks like, against Miami. Other than that, they had not scored over 20 points in any other game this season.
Just incredible. Just incredible. Their only offensive stat, by the way, they're not 29th or 30th.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo.
I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This is time of possession. They're 22nd.
It's wild.
Oh, it's incredible. All right, Sal, we'll let you get out of here, get you ready for practice, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Thanks for jumping on with us, man.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. Before we hit our next timeout, listen to Show Up in the Bulldog all week for your chance to win a $100 Woodhouse Spa gift card, courtesy, of course, by Woodhouse Spa on Main Street in Williamsville. Woodhouse makes it simple to give the perfect gift for your with their curated holiday packages, everything from deep tissue massages to hot stone treatments and incredible facials. Visit WoodhouseSpa.com. We've got primetime players coming up at 11. I know many of you have also been asking for reverse AFC power rankings. We've had a lot to do. The Sabres made a lot of moves. We had to push some stuff
back. We had to shuffle deck chairs.
But primetime players coming up in just under 15 minutes. 803-0550 as well, the number if you want to jump on, give your thoughts. We're free the rest of the way. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, this is WGR. Hour number one, wrapping up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to jump on, give your thoughts on Bills-Browns coming up on Sunday. We're going to get our first injury reports in just a little bit. We've also got, of course, all of the Sabres news. Jarmo Kekäläinen spoke with the media yesterday. He spoke with Jeremy and Joe today. You want to hear back any of that if you did miss it on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. But some big NFL news, if you did miss it, right at the top of our spot with Sal, Tua Tagovailoa has been benched by the Miami Dolphins. It is not due to any injury or anything like that. He has just flat out been benched in favor of rookie Quinn Ewers out of Texas. Zach Wilson is going to serve as the backup. And so, you know, where
do you go
now? That's
something to pay attention to for the Bills fans here, too, because
that's
a Week 18 opponent for New England, for the right to the division, really. The Bills went out. You need this game.
And now it's going to be a rookie. Now, ultimately, it could be a rookie. They also could just go to Zach Wilson in the final game, what have you.
Oh,
yours, though. I know. Yours, though, could look good. I have no idea how it's going to go. I just, for me, now having watched Denver really figure it out fast, post the Russell Wilson stuff. It did help that they'd already had draft picks on defense that happened to all really get good at the same time. They hire Sean Payton. That's going to help. A lot had to go also right for them to be able to eat all that money and bounce back as
quickly
as they have.
But also having the picks and the arsenal from the Russell Wilson trade.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, they gave those things away. Never mind. So they actually were working with a detriment.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's the opposite end.
That's right.
I thought of Seattle for a second. No, yeah, it's good opposite. Drafting. Miami has not had that to a point that they fired said general manager.
Right, and that's where a lot of draft experts that I follow were. I mean, I've bemoaned the lack of the Waddle trade for the Bills side of things. I saw all of draft Twitter bemoaning it because what do you mean you're not taking another 2027 first round pick? That draft class, albeit 2 years from now, about a year and a half from now, is expected to be loaded. Again, it's expected. Things change. Look at the quarterback class just in this year and in years prior. But everyone was like, guys, it's going to be a class with guys like Jeremiah Smith and all of these quarterbacks like Arch Manning and stuff like what are you doing? Just take the pick and move off a Waddle. You're not going anywhere here. I do wonder now, again, if that trade could be on the board. He is a wide receiver, and we just talked with Sal about how poorly they constructed this team. They built from the outside in, and it has been a detriment to them. Where the Bills, to their credit, have built from the inside out. They got the quarterback. They made sure they secured the offensive line. They've tried desperately and have missed a lot of it, but at times they've also hit it. They've tried to get that defensive line right. And while I think they've ignored the wide receiver position too much, you can also argue to the other side of things, the Dolphins, they valued all the speed and all the offensive flash too much,
And now when a game does get below 40 degrees, or realistically they're just not at home, they struggle mightily. I think this could have worked, though, if they picked somebody like Herbert. I don't think they would have had nearly the problems they have. I think Tua really does limit what they're able to do. I'm really into kind of how this all goes now. I wonder if Mike McDaniel is kind of coaching for his job, trying to, quote-unquote, prove it when he doesn't have Tua. But I've also kind of gotten after McDaniel in terms of the offensive guru. When he's had backup quarterbacks, that offense is garbage.
Yeah. And
I like McDaniel.
And you've also been on the on a little bit of the train of, if he is ultimately let go for Miami, why not bring him here?
Oh, I want Miami to fire him so bad. I hate saying that because it's a man's career, the whole thing. But I want them to fire him to bring him here. I want.
It's not like you're asking him to be out of a job. Right. You're actually trying to help get him a job.
I'm trying to get him a job. And I want, and this is a lot of it is a college basis as well. For many head coaches in college, it is the staff they bring in. That's many times the most important thing. And I think that's really where McDermott has missed horribly in these last few years, is the internal elevations, whether it be literally all three major special teams or coordinator categories, special teams, offensive, or defensive. The internal elevations have not worked. And so for me, I look around and go, Mike McDaniel runs a West Coast offense. The Bills have kind of really worked with that, with more of the, you know, balance, run attack. I think James Cook would love to have McDaniel add a little bit of speed, what have you. I'd like that. Or Raheem Morris for defensive coordinator, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. They get these head coaching jobs for a reason.
Even Jeff Ulbrich from Atlanta. Ulbrich, yep. I'm perfectly happy with that one, too. Ready to take your game day to the next level? Enter online now at WGR550.com for your chance to win a $300 tailgate tray certificate from Alibaba Kebab to feed 12 football fans. Each Friday, a winner will be announced during Football Friday with Shelton Bulldog. Fire up your taste buds at any of their three locations.
Primetime Players coming up after this timeout. It's a little bit late. I know. We're going to get to it, though. That's coming up next here on WGR. Hour number two rolls along here on a Wednesday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here. The big news out of the NFL. Quarterback change in Miami. Tua Tagovailoa to the bench. Quinn Ewers, rookie out of Texas, goes to the starting lineup. The Dolphins, if they don't cut Tua, I think, before June 1st, or if it is before June 1st, I think it's a $99 million dead cap hit. I think after June 1st, it's a little bit more palatable. But boy, oh boy, that is a tough road for them to go. I wonder about Indy. The reports after Daniel Jones went down for the year is that they were going to they were not going to sign him back. They were going to move off of him. I wonder if Indy's going to be a team that wants to make a move there, because but also, can you traded two first round picks for Sauce Gardner? Are you willing to trade even more picks for a guy who is just such a limited ceiling? He's in the dome, though, I guess.
Yeah, I don't I don't know if Indy should take that risk.
No, I don't think they really should.
No, I would. You know what? That'll be a fun off-season topic, but it's not for right now.
No,
you know what is for right now?
Primetime Players.
Something that we had to punt to today, thanks to the Sabres making some moves and also having Jarmo Kekäläinen during our show yesterday. So
there are so many people out there that have been frustrated the last few days. Where is my reverse AFC power rankings? Where are my primetime players? And primetime players, by the way, sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal. I'm sorry, it's been a little bit. I'm involved
in
both. And one of them I definitely heard. I was gone.
Yes.
But the other one is just, the Sabres did.
Yeah,
we had to get to the Sabres.
I at least took care of business while you were gone with that one. But now it's good to have two sets of primetime players, as has been intended with the origination of this segment. Mm-hmm. Zach, I've got some honorable mentions here. I know that you do as well. I'll get it started on the ice with Colorado's Nathan MacKinnon. Not his first time being around here, but he's going to be on the honorable mentions this time, despite having a six-game point streak. 12 points in those six games, by the way. So he's popping off casual two per game. No big deal. But Nathan MacKinnon, one of the best there is out there. Surprise, surprise. One of the best players is on the primetime players.
I only have one honorable mention.
It's good that I started that.
Yeah, it's been a weird week. It's all NFL for me in the primetime players. College was a little bit off. I don't really care for the bowl games. I mean, we talked about that when I first came back. The first few bowl games. I'm like, I mean, cool. It doesn't mean I'm going to watch 25% or, you know, even 25% of them. Like, I'm just going to kind of.
And this comes from the college football. I know. The college sports sicko.
You're going to
get this
me,
entire yeah, station.
You're going to get me with the FCS playoffs, all right? I'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. We've got history coming
as
up this
if
weekend.
To back into my yeah, point.
We're going
to
talk about that tomorrow. We got some mystery coming up. But my one honorable mention actually is from basketball. I wanted to get something from last night because I make fun of the regular season of the NBA a lot. Not often on air, but in my personal life, I do. The NBA Cup Championship was last night, and the Knicks won.
The most worthless thing in
the world. And I was like, I got to get somebody, but I'll throw him an honorable mention. OJ Anunoby, 28 points. The Knicks, they get to raise a trophy.
Sure.
It's the NBA Cup, and I think it's garbage, but they get to raise a trophy and maybe a banner.
What in the across the seas football are you doing? There's no point to this tournament at all.
There's really none.
There's none. There's no significance to it. I don't. Outside of the players playing, do people celebrate? Like, are Knicks fans in the streets right now because they won the NBA Cup?
So on that, I saw a picture, and it's just pictures, so it only tells some of the story. But it was Jalen Brunson, you know, one of the best players in the NBA, the face of the Knicks, and he just has this and look on his face as he's got the hat on, the confetti's going, and I'm like, yeah, this does not mean a thing.
No, they don't care.
I mean, and we'll move on from the NBA here after this, but like realistically,
oh my God,
is there any league that does a poorer job with their regular season than the NBA? Baseball, at least, until the end of time, will have this. Our records mean more than other records in sports.
Right.
Right, like that has always been a thing about baseball. Our regular seasons mean so much because of the records, the home run chase, the stuff going on with Judge from a few years ago. All of it matters. So you got that, even though it's 162 games. The NHL, I think, does a pretty darn good job because the cities that have teams watch them religiously. Mm-hmm. The NBA, you hear about how bad the ratings are, that they're coming up with in-season tournaments and then play-in games.
Changing the All-Star game.
For the playoff and the All-Star. Oh, the All-Star game. Yeah. I mean, just... I like the playoffs in the NBA. I legitimately
was glued to it when Indiana went running.
Yeah, I genuinely do. The regular season is a brutal watch, and I respect anyone that is a diehard NBA franchise fan that sits through all 82 of those. I respect you so much.
Unreal. All right. Anyway, back to better things. This one does come with a loss, so typically this is how you end up on the honorable mentions. Arizona's Trey McBride. The guy as... one of the best tight ends in the National Football League. Free him from Arizona. Actually,
it's kind of Kyler Murray.
Hang on. I just thought of the potential consequences of my statement. Keep him in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that we can appreciate something from the Cardinals, I guess. I'm totally reversing my stance there because I just thought of, what if the Chiefs get him? Thanks, Derek. Yeah, I don't want to take any blame for that. So keep him in Arizona. Trey McBride, 12 catches, 134 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Didn't matter. They lost by 20.
Incredible. Now to the top five for me. I only had the one honorable mention. I mean, Bride, though, is a really good shout, though. It's tough when it's a 20-point loss.
That's why it's got to be down there. I'm sorry. But, like, great stat line, great production. He's one of the best tight ends in the game, and yet they lose by 20. He's becoming Mike Trout.
Oh, that stings.
Buddy.
It's so true, though. So true, Queen. So true. On to number five for me. It is also in a loss. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Lions wide receiver, 13 catches, 164, and 2 touchdowns. I think a lot of that production, though, did come in the first half. The Rams really tightened up in the second half, although their secondary is probably one of their main weaknesses. They are able to score like the wind. I think they're only one of two teams that actually score at a higher pop than the Bills do. Stafford is playing at an MVP level. I would be totally fine if he gets the award. In some aspects, I'm even rooting for him because I want to see the guy in the Hall of Fame. And now that Allen's got his, I'm cool if he never wins another one. I want the Super Bowl. But I'm kind of rooting for Stafford. But Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to just be one of the best receivers in football. And sort of like just he's one of like those prize jewels of this new age Detroit Lions that just seem to get everything right, even when they're not perfect.
Yeah, I think that it's really getting to a point with the Lions where it's getting a little frustrating for them.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing everything right, it seems, in some games, and then just something's going wrong. Or you're facing a great team, and you just don't have enough to get it done.
Detroit might be one of the sadder stories of a team that misses the playoffs that really shouldn't.
And they got to hope now that Green Bay, they got to hope the Michael Parsons thing really does hurt Green
Bay. It does them in, yeah.
Because there's no other real route to get into the wild card. Seattle is the top wild card with 11 wins. San Francisco has 10, and Detroit, you have 8. I mean, you're 2 games out of the way. That's a lot with 3 games. It's a lot with 4 and 5 games left. It's a lot with 3.
All right, so number 5, I'm back to the ice, actually. We're doing a lot with some hockey here. And it's Connor McDavid. Connor McDavid. So I'd mentioned the 6-game point streak for Nathan MacKinnon, 12 points within that, and it's average of 2 per game. Connor McDavid has 15 points in his last 5 games, Zach.
Yeah, he's caught up to the leaders.
He's caught up to the leaders, but more impressively than that, Edmonton's 3-1-1 in that stretch, including, but not limited to, scoring a game-tying goal with 1.2 seconds left against the Buffalo Sabres and almost causing everyone to have a mental collapse.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts, and then the next 4 games from there, he has collected points, and he's averaging 3 points per game over his last 5. Sicko stuff from Connor McDavid.
And after, by the way, being out of a playoff spot for much of the beginning of the year and looking like a disaster, they are now in a playoff spot at the point. They're one of the Pacific leaders.
They're getting back, and they traded their mid goalie for another mid goalie, so we'll see what happens there.
Did you see that sad, you know, all of Edmonton is celebrating their win over Pittsburgh,
and
there's Skinner
sitting right next to him,
and I'm like, that's awful. I mean, like, it's one of those where a picture also tells a whole story.
Sorry, but if I lost the game and I'm standing in a net and the team is congregating over there, skate off the ice, dude.
Yeah, just go.
You're making it weird. I'm not making it weird celebrating a win. You're making it weird.
But it was one of those where the pitcher tells the whole story. We talked about it with, you know, almost morbidly, but it really did. Mahomes being hurt and going down the tunnel, and you just see all the banners.
Yeah.
And it was like, that might be the moment the dynasty ends. To a lesser extent, here it is, Skinner, watching a team celebrate. He's the guy that's out. He's maybe the guy that's, you know, the crux of all their problems, or at least definitely the scapegoat. And here they are celebrating around and be like, oh.
He also let in 5 goals on 20 shots, almost proving the trade right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't
do that.
But also, don't make it weird.
So
skate away.
Right.
Be a normal goalie taking the loss. Skate away.
So number 4 for you was Connor McDavid. Number 4 for me.
That was number 5.
Number 5 for you, yes.
So, right, number, so number 4.
Number 4 for me, James Cook, who, you know, I was somebody, I said during the offseason, and I wear it proudly, I really didn't love the idea of paying him long term. I like the contract ultimately. He has been worth every penny and more. 3 total touchdowns, over 100 yards on the ground in the comeback win over New England. And this is also in part kind of a season long kind of spot on this list as well. He's right behind Jonathan Taylor as the rushing leader in the league. I think there's a real chance he is going to pass him. And there's also a real chance he could wind up with like 1,600 yards rushing. It's not a 2,000-yard season, don't get me wrong. But he's going to be an all-pro this year at running back. He has been incredible this year for the Bills. In a team that I do think lacks high-end talent, I know Greg Cosell talked about it, that cannot be said for Josh Allen and now, I think, definitively James Cook.
So 1,600-yard season, Zach?
Yeah.
That's less than 100 yards per game. He's at 14-15 right now.
Yes, he's going to eat.
So, we are threatening probably on 1,700 because of how proficient he is and the fact that the Bills like to run the football.
Yeah.
3 games left. You try to get 100 yards per game on that one, you're probably threatening for.
I think 2 of your 3 remaining opponents are going to be Cleveland and then the Jets. Eagles, you know, sandwiched in there. I mean, that's 2 teams where, you'll probably want to just run the ball to get the game going, get us out healthy.
And considering the Jets game has stakes for you, it might have stakes for you. I don't know.
In terms of the seeding, yeah.
So we'll see there. And I think they have to play it out unless the Bills lose their next 2 games. The Jets game means something.
Yeah.
So there's that. Number 4 for me, I'm going to stay on the ice one last time here with Detroit goaltender John Gibson. Zach, 2 shutouts and 6 wins in his last 6 starts.
Giddy up.
Nasty work here from John Gibson. The start of his win streak is a game where he wins 5-4 against Boston. So, like, it's not impressive. But from there, he kind of builds it up. 2 shutouts in this 6-game stretch for him as the Detroit Red Wings have re-entered the conversation as top of the Atlantic. Why? They're getting some good goaltending from John Gibson. They have a negative goal differential, Zach.
Oof.
And they're at the top of the Atlantic Division. Oh, my God, this Sabre season is so frustrating.
The Atlantic season as a whole is very frustrating.
They're in last place again.
Yep. Number three for me, I think my favorite receiver to watch in football, one of them, Puka Nacua.
Yep, there it is.
9 catches for 181. Obviously instrumental in the win over Detroit. He also may have to get a little bit more of the lion's share tomorrow night against Seattle with Devontae Adams dealing with a hamstring injury. He's not playing. They didn't rule him out yesterday. He's not playing. That did not look good. He did not look good walking off the field. No shot. Puka Nacua, though.
Yeah, in a short week.
Before he got injured, by the way, Jackson Smith and Jigba is having like the season at wide receiver, and I think he's also absolutely overtaken Jonathan Taylor's Offensive Player of the Year.
But before that,
Puka was on pace to have basically Cooper Kupp season from a few years ago with Stafford.
Stafford locks into a guy and he loves him.
God, he loves
That's
him.
That's what it is.
But yeah, Puka Nacua, 9 for 181 and a win over Detroit. Such a good player.
I do wonder if this player is in your top three here because you like to talk about the moments.
Mm-hmm.
Tough opponent. Bo Nix against Green Bay, 23 of 34, 302 yards, 4 touchdowns in a win where they do have to mix it up offensively against a pretty good Green Bay defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the moment. You need to capture the moment. And that's one of them for me. Bo Nix in here at number three. Inconsistent as heck, but the man can stand up sometimes.
So he's number two for me.
There it is. That was easy.
He's number two for me. I will say, and I've wanted to say this because I've brought him up a few times when talking about Nix. Colin Coward, there is always a way to let you know how Denver's feeling about him. It's to listen to Coward. If you do watch or listen to the show or see his clips on Twitter, he is tight with Sean Payton.
That's right.
And early this year, he was bringing up the idea of, man, could Denver move off of Bo Nix? And that was during the period where he's like throwing a touchdown a game, not really doing anything offensively. Yep. They can't really get going.
It's like 150 yards or something.
This week, he's comparing him to John Elway.
Yep.
You know how Denver's feeling based on how Coward's saying it, because that's what Sean Payton wants him to say. And yeah, I mean, you're right. It's the moment for me. It's over Green Bay. That's a huge win for them. It effectively sort of ends the one seed race, I think, for a lot of us. You know, it's not officially done, but it feels done. And I'll be honest, number one's going to be this too. Some of these young quarterbacks are really starting to establish themselves in the NFL. And have they done anything in the playoffs yet? No. But I think it's fair to start looking at them going, they might be more threatening than we're giving them credit for.
Interesting. All right, to wrap up number two here for me, it is Bills linebacker Matt Milano.
Yeah.
Milano, 10 tackles, 2 sacks, 2 tackles for loss in the win against New England. Those sacks were pretty timely, especially when in the first half, you're not going to stop at all, apparently. And the Bills flex their muscles as they do in the second half. They are the premier second half team. Matt Milano had a pretty good say in how things went defensively for this game, especially within the second half where the Bills come all the way back from a 21-0 deficit in the first half. And it's like, okay, thanks for the wild times. Please don't attack my hearts again. I know you're going to. It's going to be like 13-3 against Cleveland.
I just can't believe they still like basically extinguished the entire New England lead in like the first 6 minutes of the third quarter. I mean, by the time the fourth quarter starts, it's just a full-on close game.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable how they can do that.
It's objectively hilarious now. All right, Zach, what you got?
I'm going to keep tweeting through it, but like in reality, I'm kind of sitting there at halftime going, I'll turn it on, they're fine. I'm going to tweet through it. I'm like Nate. I'm going to tweet through it, but just give me a full 60 minutes, guys.
Sometimes I'm doing that too. Yep. I'm not as guilty of it sometimes, but I kept, like once it was 14-0, I'm like, they're a second half team. They're a second half team. They're a second half team. Let me cope, people. They're a second half team. All right, Zach, what's number one?
Trevor Lawrence.
There it is.
He is playing at an incredible level.
Really, against the Jets, we're putting that at number one?
6 total touchdowns, 5 through the air. 330 yards passing, 51
on the
ground.
Is it really 6 touchdowns when it's against the Jets?
I know, right? Like there's an asterisk
there. We have to prorate it.
It's like, it's 4, guys. Come on. Come on. But in all honesty, like Lawrence is sort of what I was talking about with Bo Nix there, where right now the Bills wild card matchup would be at Jacksonville. Lawrence is playing at a really high level. That Jacoby Myers trade actually has meant a lot for them. They've been able to move Brian Thomas Jr. into a spot. I think Bashaun Tutin, though, they're going to be out there. He's going to be out, I think, for the rest of the year. I saw that yesterday, or at least for an extended period of time. But Lawrence is that quarterback. I said it to you off air, you and Nate off air on Sunday. He's the quarterback I look at in the AFC playoffs that could ascend, and we're all talking about him very differently. I think for many, Bo Nix will always be just high floor, low ceiling guy, even after performances like this. And I think that's totally fair. May, in some aspects, has already sort of ascended. I mean, that's why he's in MVP conversations. If Lawrence leads Jacksonville to an AFC championship, we are all talking about him very differently going into next year.
Yes.
Even if they just win a playoff game.
He becomes the prince that's promised.
Right.
From that 2021 draft class.
And the promise is finally being fulfilled. There have been moments with him. And again, it is against the Jets, but he has been playing at a much, much better level over the last few weeks, really since the trade deadline and the acquisition of Jacoby Myers. And so Trevor Lawrence comes in at number one for me. Six total touchdowns.
All right. Time to wrap this thing up with a player that had such an incredible performance through his inconsistent career that he put up 7% of his all-time fantasy stats in one night.
Yep.
With 11 catches, 166 yards, three touchdowns, including one that is straight up butt cheek before elbow out of bounds, it's Kyle Pitts.
Just incredible.
I can't forget this kind of thing because of the fact that Kyle Pitts is one of the most infuriating players in football. So inconsistent. I mentioned how Trevor Lawrence, he might be becoming the prince that's promised. Kyle Pitts has never really been able to put that consistency together, be it scheme where Arthur Smith just wants Jonnu Smith doing everything and then sitting Kyle Pitts for things, or even nowadays where it's just sometimes he'll put the game together and then the next thing you know, he's got like one catch for 7 yards in a game. But Kyle Pitts against Tampa Bay was a nightmare. And what was probably one of the coolest uniform matchups that you'll see, by the way.
I know.
Aesthetically
so good.
Gorgeous. But Pitts had himself a fantastic night in primetime. And yeah, you can't ignore that kind of stat line for a primetime player's top spot.
I think, by the way, he's going to be a free agent this year.
This has been one of his better seasons. It's better to get in there on a high note.
I'm not saying for the Bills, but just in terms of...
Oh, yeah, no. The Bills have tight ends.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying for the Bills. But I think it'll be, you know, maybe curious to see what teams maybe want to do there. Because if he's really finally showing off his potential, a lot of teams are going to run for that. A lot of teams will.
On the season, Pitts has 73 receptions, 797 yards. He has three of his four touchdowns on that Thursday night, Zach.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
He is the biggest tease.
Incredible. Wonderful talent. You wonder if he's putting it together finally.
He has three of his four touchdowns in one game, Zach.
So maybe he's not. Maybe it really is just one game. we'll see.
When I say 7% of his fantasy football career totals, I mean 7% of his entire football career's totals.
Yeah, it wasn't hyperbole.
That was real.
It's incredible.
Through his five seasons in the National Football League, he put up 7% of his production in one night.
Oh.
This is his best season since his rookie year, though. But he's never really been one to catch touchdowns.
No, never.
One, two, three, four. Hey, if he catches one more touchdown this season, they will have gone up by one each year.
Oh, now I do want that to happen just because it'll be cool.
Because he has one, two, three, four, and now four in 14 games.
Oh, I want that so bad.
Only one touchdown is allowed for Kyle Pitts for the rest of the year.
Yes.
But with that, that is our primetime players. We'll have that tweeted out in a little bit as well. But primetime players, as it always is sponsored by Attain Wealth Planning, where wealth is personal.
803-0550, the number to call. We've got big news in the NFL with the benching of Tua Tagovailoa.
I feel like it's a 4 on the 10 for me.
It's more just the starting quarterback getting benched, I think, for me. Like, whenever that happens, I always think it's big.
I saw it as an inevitability.
Probably true.
Yeah. Like, this one really doesn't hit me on the scale that much.
The dead cap hit, though. That is going to sting.
That will, if they move on from him, be a bigger deal.
And also, we have news from Sabres practice, as Michael Kessering was spotted at practice. I don't know if it was in a non-contact.
See, that's a 7 out of 10.
That's a 7 out of 10. Incredible. Again, the number to call, 803-0550. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.
Phenomenal. Just his mindset. Let's start there. You know, he's embraced a role that maybe he wasn't his initial goal, perhaps, right? And yet at the same time, he saw an opportunity and he took advantage of it, which I think is really, really cool to see. He's taken a lot of pride in doing well, and that kickoff return team, as you know, up until I don't know, guesstimating 4 or 5 weeks ago, we hadn't had much in terms of field position, but of late, those guys are doing a phenomenal job, Coach Tabor, Coach West, and that kickoff return team overall. And then Ray's mindset has been top shelf, and very impressed with the game yesterday and how that helped us field position-wise. That was big.
There's Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott speaking with the media from earlier this week, talking about Ray Davis and a new weapon they seemingly found in him.
It seems like it. I have really been impressed with how he's been doing with the kick returns as of late, especially because this team has needed a bit of a jolt within that. Their field positioning was amongst the worst in football through the first half of the season. And then Ray Davis decides, no, I'm the kick returner now.
Yeah, he leads the NFL with 32.4 yard kick return average. And,
yeah.
And it really does feel like he's a weapon. It really does.
Which is
great for him because most of this year,
he's been very quiet.
I tweeted it, over the weekend on Sunday. You know, ultimately, his season has been a huge disappointment. This has been a great find. Like for him to take advantage of this and to do it this well up to this point has been great. It does feel like at some point he's going to return one. It really does. I don't know if he's got the breakaway speed necessarily. But I don't care if that means they're going to start drives on like their own 35 or 40 yard line every now and then.
He's utilizing his vision. I'm happy for it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, there were a couple times that Ty Johnson really irritated me.
Mm-hmm.
He ran without really letting his blockers set up. And it really, there was one, it was Ray Davis was actually his lead. And it's a swing pass to the left side. And Ty Johnson just goes. And he doesn't let Ray Davis really set up and try to position himself to get a block in there. I think there's probably 2 or 3 more yards that could have been gained on that sort of play. Mm. And I'm like, Ty Johnson, what are you doing, man?
Right.
And so, there were a couple times where Ty Johnson just like kind of infuriated me with that. A little bit of less vision than I expect him to have.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to Ray Davis on the kick returns right now, if he's seeing it and he's hitting it, you don't have to do every time. Like, we don't need a house call every time. But that was big in Houston. That kept him in that game, especially a game where offensively they were frustrated.
Yeah.
That kick return touchdown literally allows them to stay in that thing. But New England, what's he do? Flips the field twice in a game where you needed every point possible. After that poor of a start,
mm-hmm.
How's it get started? Ray Davis takes the second half kickoff, puts it to midfield. And you let the team that adjusts the best in the NFL have half the field to go.
Right, get that start. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch. A lot of fun
yes.
to watch. And it felt initially like it was like, oh, cool. Like, this is a little spot thing. Good for him. Now it keeps going. Now I'm sitting here not getting that mad that he's actually not going to be the Bills kicker on Sunday. Because if they...
That's right.
If we didn't have this going, I'd be like, guys, we have our kicker. We have our kicker. Or, be brave, just go for two every time.
Have you ever had, like, a kicker and kick returner? What in the high school football is that?
When the game was pure. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones here real quick. Steve is up next. Steve, how we doing, man?
Hey, guys. My thing I took away from that Patriots game that kind of made me most concerned was the end of that last offensive series. It was such a great comeback. And then I still kind of had that, like, it still just felt gross the way that they got really conservative and, you gave them a chance. They're one off, one pass interference penalty away from being down the field and
mm-hmm.
losing that game after all the work they put in. And secondly, McDermott got a little weird with the, midfield punts and I think it was like a 4th-and-4 or something, but
yep.
I think he does that when he doesn't really think the other offense, or not that Drake May has booty cheeks, but I think when he doesn't feel that threatened,
mm-hmm.
he's going to punt it from midfield. And if you're playing Mahomes or Burrows or the Ravens, he's going for that.
Right, and he openly acknowledged
that. That's kind of my McDermott theory.
Yeah, he openly acknowledged that. Steve, thanks for the call. Like, the last year of the Chiefs game, he kind of hinted at it outright that, look who's on the other side.
I think May,
we're going to end the game here.
I think May has now entered a little bit of that discussion that he will be that in future years, and the Bills will have to take that just as seriously.
Yeah. We didn't get to talk about this game too much because of the Yarmouth stuff, but
we didn't really at all.
I don't disagree really with Steve on much. My only thing with the fourth downs, I thought that said more about how McDermott felt about the offense at the time than the opposing team's defense.
Yeah, the Bills offensively in the first half.
Yeah, less so on the final drive where they just ran, punt. I don't disagree. I never like that. Keep the ball in Josh Allen's hands, get a first down, get out of here.
But you don't fall down 21-0 because your offense is doing good.
Right. My biggest issue, though, in that game was the fact that, and this has happened a few times this year, McDermott, for the most part in his career, has been very correct on fourth down. I don't want to just say aggressive, but correct. Like the analytics say, go for it. He's probably going for it. This year has been a little bit of a tone flip for him at times. And that first half kind of showed it where, yeah, like ultimately, and I've heard people call and talk about this kind of endlessly at this point, but the 3rd and 15 screen pass and they don't go for it on 4th and 4. You know, what are we doing here? Why throw the screen pass on 3rd and 15? That's probably some kind of miscommunication between Brady and McDermott. But even still, like there were points where you're down 14-0 and you're bailing water at this point. You got to get anything going, and your best weapon, your best player on the team, regardless of position, is your quarterback, which is a godsend. That's what you want. And instead, they punted away at times. It felt like early they were conceding the game. They end up coming back, obviously, and winning it, and they're incredible in the second half. But when they're down 21-0, it did feel like at times they were conceding the game.
Their third punt, right before they fall down 21-0, which is at the New England 41, which is what Steve was talking about, it is 4th and 8 at the 41-yard line, and Joe Brady had just called a bubble screen on 3rd and 15. There was no setup to make fourth down a triable process. It was bubble screen to the offensive right, see if Shakir can take it somewhere. He doesn't even get to halfway there. And we're trusting 4th and 8 on a drive where you did okay, but the drive before that, you lost 5 yards total. It was also, at said time of punt, the Bills had less passing yards than anybody in this conversation right now. You and I had more passing yards, net passing yards, than the Bills had when they made their third punt of the day. They had -1. Mm. Why are you going for it on 4th and 8 at the 41-yard line? Yeah, it's the New England 41-yard line. How dare you? Have you seen them right now at that moment?
Well, and that's my thing is I saw that as Tim just having zero faith at the time in the offense. Again, they come back around and it winds up being just fine. They're a wagon in the second half offensively. But yeah, I mean, but then also, like, I think
it's not the wrong call. It's not the wrong call because of the fact that they have -1 mm-hmm. net yards passing. They punt it and it's downed at the 6. All logic should dictate that you actually should be coming away with this just fine. No, New England rips off a 94-yard touchdown to make it 21-0, and everyone's like, okay, so this game's over. Logically, yes, it's on the New England 41. That's the moment that you're like, it's 4th and 8. We have not been getting the ball moving at all. This is not the time to do this. You think logic would dictate you play the field position battle on this and you have an opportunity to get back into a groove. Obviously, the defense did not do their part in that. And all of a sudden, you're down 21-0. The first one, I can get behind. It's 4th and 5. You have a chance. You know, like it's the first drive of the game and you have pretty good field position. It's your first drive of the game and you mm-hmm. field position. The defense just got ran over. Do it then. Don't do it with that other one.
It's fair. Ultimately, ended up working out for him, though.
Yeah,
which is
of
nice.
Course. It's nice. But I will say, if I'm going to be critical on that sort of thing, I'm going to go after one, but not the other. Because the other had enough evidence stacked at it at that point that you're like, I don't want you doing this, actually.
I don't need this right now.
I don't need to give the ball to New England at the 41-yard line. Granted, at the 6, they still did the same thing. But it shouldn't.
Yeah. On Steve's other point, the effectively last drive.
The Bills do get it back
with about 1:47 left. It's effectively just running and then kneeling out. But their last one with about 5 minutes left, I do agree. I wish they were more aggressive there. There's 5 minutes left. You're only up 4. The fact that you ran 3 straight times, especially with the second down run only being for 1 yard with Ty Johnson or with James Cook. Look, I spoke glowingly about Cook. It's not really about him. It is just more of keep them off balance. It's 2nd and 5. I'm happy throwing the ball there. I'm more than happy throwing the ball to try to get the first down. And again, there's still around 4.5 minutes left there. It's not going to end the game there. It's not going to kill it. They end up having to do that later on where, again, they run the ball three straight times. But for two straight drives with 5 minutes left, you don't throw the ball once. It's picking and prodding. It ultimately a win. I know that. But it is something to – but that is where you will get got by quarterbacks who – I mean, I mentioned the AFC playoffs. Mm-hmm. I wonder about Trevor Lawrence. Is he starting to have his moment? Bo Nix, even. Is he starting to have his moment? You don't want to give those guys another chance. You just want to snuff the air out. Drake May, I think, has already gotten to that role. And look, they did beautifully on that drive where it's a short completion to Mac Hollins. It ultimately ruled a sack by Rousseau, then incomplete to Henderson, and an incomplete to Diggs. So it's a defended pass by Joey Bosa, but incomplete to Diggs.
But the big thing here is, I think logically you do have to do things that are right sometimes and not the aggressive thing. Sometimes you have to do that. Because what is not mentioned in that final, that second to last drive there is, they make New England burn timeouts. You need those because you're not trailing by three. You need a touchdown. Mm-hmm. And the way the Bills defense is playing in the second half, you have more faith in them. Because you've made your adjustments. You have frustrated them. Outside of one stupid long run where Rousseau is playing the edge and he gets kind of caught on the inside because an offensive lineman comes back over late and seals him off, and Drake May has to sprint down the field to make the block on Trey White. It's outside of one play, literally one play, you stifled the New England offense from there.
And that one, I will say though, that one play,
that one play was electric.
At the time, that was such a wind out of the sails kind of moment. They had just taken the lead 28-24. You're thinking, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, where you essentially took the game back in the third quarter. By the start of the fourth quarter, you take the lead. I'm not going to lie to you, Derek. At the time, for me, it felt like, oh, they're going to win this game by 10.
But then
they're going to effectively, quote-unquote, blow them out. And then the Henderson run happens, and it ends up having to be a close game. But at the time, I was like, this is how they're going to win?
But
it's not even just like a last-second fourth quarter like Baltimore or even like Cincinnati. It's instead they're going to run away with it in the fourth quarter. They ultimately don't, but they do get the win.
They have two drives that have negative yards in the second half. This is when you kill clock. Like, this is when you put faith in them. And you live and die by the decision. It's not always the conservative decision is not always a bad decision. There are times where it is right. There are times where it is actually smart. It is times where it is logical. That is one of them. Like I said, torch them for the first punt. You got off to a poor start, and that didn't help. You weren't quick enough to grab the challenge flag at the beginning for Kayshon Boutte. You could have flipped the game on its head a little bit. New England probably doesn't score a touchdown there. They actually have to punt it to you because it was third down. And then you could start the game with 0-0 when you get the football first, or by the time you get the football.
Yeah.
This is where you do it, because outside of one play, you had them for the entirety of the second half.
I just wish,
and it was one play.
It was one play.
Because, ready? First drive of the second half, three and out, losing 6 yards. Second drive of the second half for New England, interception.
Then, Trey White's pick,
then there's that play. The next drive, they have 3 yards for three plays for minus 7 yards. And then the Bills run it three straight times, make New England kill their timeouts. They need a touchdown, and all of a sudden, you're probably not running the football, are you?
Right. You're probably done. I'm not being selfish. I'm not asking for a full game from the defense. Just three quarters.
And that's
just give me three quarters.
But they gave you two.
They gave me two, and they gave me two wonderful ones.
Yeah.
So, I just need three.
But that's my
just
thing.
Just give me three, and I can really start buying in.
But that's where I'm at. Sometimes conservative and logical football is not wrong. It is contextual. And I didn't disagree with it. Ready? If there's something that I'm going to come to gripes with on Buffalo's last offensive drive, it's execution.
Yeah.
How many times, though, have the Bills run the football when a team damn well knows they're running the football and they still get it done?
And it works, yeah.
So there's where I'd put my gripe in. You're making them call their timeouts. You're making them have to use their resources, and they can't win it with a field goal. They can't tie it with a field goal. They have to score a touchdown. And you put them in a situation where they're actually playing into your strength, which is the passing game.
Yeah. Join WGR and Bud Light for a Buffalo Football Friday happy hour. Shelton Bulldog going to be broadcasting live on Friday. from 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Draft Room downtown. We'll have your chance to enter and win a Josh Allen jersey. No purchase necessary. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Enjoy responsibly. 21 plus. We'll take a quick time out. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer. This is WGR. Wrapping up hour number two here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up in just a little under 10 minutes, Sabres Live. Jarmo Kekäläinen hired as GM. Michael Kesering seen as practice as well. So a lot of stuff going on there in Sabres Live. They'll have you covered here in just a little bit. But before we get out of here, we'll go back to the phones. Dan is up next. Dan, how we doing, man?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Just two quick questions. First, Coleman. I was interested in your thoughts on how he played. From my observation, it felt like his performance was better. And do you think, you know, from your skilled eyes, you saw some improvement there? I'm not saying he's turned it around, but is what you saw encouraging? And the second question is about Cook. You know, during that offseason, there was a lot of discussion about how much he should be paid and whether we're overpaying for him. And, you know, revisionist history. I mean, did we get a great deal with what we're paying him now? That's it. Thanks for taking the call and happy holidays.
Dan, happy holidays to you as well. And thanks for the call. I'll say on Keon, I saw a block. And that's really about it. Yeah. I don't think he's offering anything as a wide receiver. I think you'll get the same, if not more, from Gabe Davis. It's a shame. But I think that's where it is. And then Cook.
You're getting the same really out of Tyrell Shavers.
Right, absolutely. So. And then on Cook, I think, you know, as much as many of us complained about the contract or maybe just didn't want to see it, I think he's been worth the money.
I think he's been worth that.
Yeah, I think he's nailed that.
Dan, appreciate the call and keeping it on the quick because we got to get ourselves going. But before we do, a reminder that Tailgate Trivia is back, presented by Total Sports Enterprises Buffalo. Listen during every Bills pregame for your chance to call and answer the trivia question. And if you do, you win. Autographed Bills merchandise, courtesy of TSE Buffalo. Zach, we got to get the heck out of here. So, with that, we'll be back in tomorrow.
Do we have any games tonight? Anything coming on tonight?
No. It's a Wednesday, man.
Yeah, we got nothing.
Nothing. No Sabres action tonight. They're back on the ice tomorrow.
It's probably a bowl game.
Yeah, but
I'll get there.
Why don't you get the show out of here, Zach?
Everyone have a great rest of your day. Sean McDermott speaking with the media right now. Sal Capaccio will have you covered at Sal Sports over on Twitter. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Sabres Live up next. This is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit DetectTheSOS.com to learn more.